listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
There's a million MCs that claim they want some, but see, I create the sounds that make your ears go numb. Peace to Sia Zav. Yeah, you know how we go. My best friend Steven at the Home Depot. Lowerton is in the house. Can't forget Southside. I walk past some C's like that girl did the Far Side. I'm labeled as the cast me out, the MC with the know how. Act like you know. Not now, but right now. Beast of the East on them seas, I have a feast. I eat that ass like Keisha, crack a smile like Shanice. Straight out Jamaica scene, Jamaica Queens, but you can find me out in Georgia and anywhere in between. Now, if my partners don't look good, Malik won't look good. If Malik don't look good, the Quest won't look good. If the Quest don't look good, the Queens won't look good. But since my signs are universals, New York won't look good. Picture Fife losing the battle, come on, get off it. Put down the microphone, son, surrender forfeit. Did I hear something about a crew? What they want to do, you better call Mr. Babyface so he can bring out the cool in you, or it'll be us at love song being sung by Tony Braxton, and I'll dissect you like a fraction. Oh, you want to be the top cat MCs, I'll pop you like a zit. You want to be the champ, come on, more like Chief some shit. Big up myself every time when it comes to this. MCs be running scared as if they watching The Exorcist. I kick more game than a crackhead from Hampstead. My style's a milk. Man, you think that I was breastfed. Hey, welcome to the Blackout Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen,
and we're live on a Saturday morning. Rest in peace, Fife Dawg. 3 years since we lost that brother. One of my favorite MCs of all time. Tribe Called Quest, one of my favorite groups of all time. Gone too soon, dog. Of course, this is a feedback show. It's for all my people that listen to the show and they have things to say. There's a bunch of ways to get your voice heard. You can go to theblackouttips.com, leave comments on our website. You can vote in the polls on the website as well and leave comments on those votes. I mean, there's a lot of ways. Email us, theblackouttips@gmail.com. You can leave us voicemails for the show, 704-557-0186. Make sure that the messages are 2 minutes or less, so you will get cut off. And then you got to be one of those people that sends 3-4 messages in a row. And then everybody in the audience gets kind of tired of you because they're like, oh, really, nigga? Can't you spit it out? I'm just trying to help you. Okay. You can also email us theblackouttips@gmail and leave us 5-star reviews on iTunes and Stitcher. Mm-hmm. Those are our faves. You can donate to the show. Go to the first page of the site, theblackouttips.com. Look on the right hand side. You can do one time donations, recurring donations. It's really up to you how you want to do it. We appreciate everybody takes the time out to do that because, you know, that's your hard earned money and we like to give you a shout out for doing so.
I dedicate this song to recession, depression, and unemployment. This song's for you.
Today's a new day.
Hey, new day, new pay. Our girl June from Harlem. Harlem on the rise.
Yes.
Left us a one-time donation, even though I believe she's a recurring donator as well. She said, I had a nickel over lunch money, so I was able to toss in a bit more. Thank you for your work, Rod and Karen.
Oh, thank you.
Hugs and kisses. Thank you. Tabitha M, recurring donator, thank you. Benjamin C, thank you, Ben. Miss Hathaway, thank you so much. Yes. Rita Mae C, thank you as well. Nicholas Z, thank you. Our boy Bomani Jones of High Noon, thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Laura E, we appreciate you. Renate M, thank you very much. Pete B, we appreciate you, Pete. Our girl Olivia in Chicago, shout out to her, thank you. Ricky A, pretty Ricky, what they call him, thank you for your recurring donation. Wrong mailbox, that's on me. Dave from Brooklyn, thank you, Dave, we appreciate you. Mm-hmm. Black Film Press Comics, thank you very much, we appreciate you. Laura F, thank you, Laura. Kalfani G, thank you, Kalfani. Chris from Hawaii, thank you, aloha. Mm-hmm. Brianna F, thank you, Brianna. April G, thank you. Corey the Tickler, thank you so much, and that is everybody.
Nothing but clouds and it's dark in my heart and it feels like a cold night.
It ain't easy, but
today's a new day. But tell me, where are my blue skies?
Where is that love, y'all?
Where is the love and the joy that you promised me? Tell me it's alright.
The truth is,
I almost gave up a power that I can't explain.
Holy Ghost power, y'all.
Fell from heaven like a showering.
Now I know we've been hurt, y'all. But
alright, alright, alright. Let's get into the feedback. We got two new 5-star iTunes reviews, none on Stitcher this week. Mm-hmm. Pop My Podcast Cherry says Quidential, who says 5 stars. What up, Rod and Karen? This is the official Q Dog of the show. I left a review years ago, but wanted to send y'all some of that updated love. Since my last review, a review, I've gotten married 8 years next month. Have a 4-year-old son and a baby girl on the way.
Oh.
You guys have been around for some of the biggest moments of my life, and I thank you guys for bringing that consistent fire. This show really did pop my podcast cherry, because once I got a taste of that good stuff, I had to find more and more shows from people that look like myself. Thank you both for making me think and help change the some of my problematic views. Also bad that Rich Dollars wouldn't allow me in the Creep Squad. Oh man, that's bad.
That's real bad.
You know, the membership of the Creep Squad is a pretty low bar.
Come on, real low.
Thank you guys again, and I wish you continued success, Q-Dential 3. Thank you.
Thank you.
And then lastly, I Just Can't Stop by DCJENT, so DC Gent maybe? 1, who says, hello, Rod and Karen. My cousins have turned me on to your podcast 2 weeks, and I can't stop listening.
Shout out to your cousins, baby.
Shout out to cousins, okay? I love the topics and your insightful, enlightening way of discussing them. I really appreciate you. Keep doing what you do, and most certainly, this is a 5-star show. Thank you.
Yay, thank you.
We appreciate you, okay? We know that...
came in the door putting 5 on it. How many of y'all been listening for years, and you ain't never stopped by to put 5 on it?
2 weeks, and put y'all to shame. 2 weeks.
Put y'all to shame.
I mean, woo, I'm just saying, some of y'all.
I mean, come on.
Think about it, okay? This person can't been listening for 2 weeks, and they already put 5 on it.
Ow, y'all done been to all the anniversaries and everything. Mm-hmm.
Also, we didn't get any 5-star reviews for Spoiled Movies, but I did want to let people know I updated the feed, and it's up to... it's up to A Quiet Place right now, which is a great movie. I think people will love it. That review is very long. That review is with Reagan Gomez. I remember doing that with her. She was very gracious to do it with me. I remember we had to like set up some time to figure out how to get it done, but
y'all had a good time.
Yeah, it was only supposed to be like, you know, I thought 30 minutes 20 minutes, but Reagan, you know, is one, she's a director herself, and she just has all the inside information and all these different perspectives, and she had like so much
knowledge,
stuff to just talk about, and I just was like letting her talk, because I was like, thank you, you know. And yeah, that's some of my favorite reviews on this, in this little era. Like, some of the reviews are getting longer, so I'm uploading less of them
right
at this time, so now, you know, every month you'll see less, because some of these are longer. Hurricane Heist is a long review, but a very fun review. With Russell Hainline, I know your thighs are thinking like, y'all talked about Hurricane Heights for 1 hour and 46 minutes. Well, with me and Russ, we like disaster movies.
Yeah,
so
right.
It ends up being a long ass roast of this movie. And then we start talking about every other disaster movie we've watched and how terrible they are. So yeah, man, I hope you guys check them out, man. There's some good ones, good reviews in there. Chris Lambert is on Gringo. That's another good one. So, all right. Let's get into the website feedback. We had our feedback episode, Random Rambling, where we did just talk a long time, probably about nothing. and we had some comments. Angie P says, we done made it up to Canada, mate. Karen, I guess that's what Karen said. She said, too long, didn't read. We don't use mate in Canada. We use buddy.
My bad. That's what a wonk and them use. My bad.
Congratulations, Karen and Rod, on your CBC radio interview. CBC is our publicly funded broadcaster, and it's the Canadian big time, so you done good. Oh, thank you.
We didn't know that. Thank you, baby.
I really got a kick out of listening to my favorite podcasters on my local radio. I also think the White Walkers should rule the throne. Now that you've migrated up north of the border, I feel protective of you and want to let you know, Karen, that you have your Commonwealth countries crossed. Now, admittedly, I was misdirected when I corrected your use of toboggan and said it was a toque, pronounced 2K, 2Q? I don't know how to pronounce that. But you're in my country now, so I'm semi-confident no maple syrup apologies will be necessary. Thank you for that maple syrup though. Karen, in your podcast you greeted us and it's a winky face emoji. You greeted us Canadians as mates. Well, mates are Australians, not Canadian. Just so you're up on the lingo, when you're up here it's proper to call us buddy, friend, or guy.
Okay.
What about hoser? I thought it was your hoser.
Buddy, friend, or guy. Okay.
Now, granted, this can get confused between Canadians' use of buddy for both a friend and just some nameless guy on the street whose name is not relevant. For example, I was at the store and Buddy wasn't looking where she was going and rammed her cart up the back of my heels. I've attached a short South Park YouTube link to help with cultural confusion. Congratulations again. I wish you both all the success in the world, and I'm happy to hear you're getting recognition you so rightfully deserve. Angie P. Thank you, Angie.
Thank you.
EVE says, congratulations on your Canadian interview. I basically agree with most of who you said will die, but honestly, as much as I love them Starks, I'm rooting for the White Walkers this season. Let the culling begin. Barring that, I wouldn't mind if Sam and Gilly take the throne, because you know Gilly would appreciate all the nice things.
All of them.
Yep. Started from the bottom, now she here.
Come on.
In the poll, it was, if you throw an egg on someone, do you need to be prepared for them to fight you?
Yes.
Karen says yes. One person said no, and 99% of y'all said yes. I don't know who the one person is that said no, but
probably the
they
one
about to get a wake-up call,
cracking somebody upside the head with an egg.
Yeah, I guess they gonna get a wake-up call one day.
That one dude voted was like, no, I shouldn't have been prepared.
Lakita says, in response to the poll, absolutely, that young man needed to hear what I've always heard from the elders. You feel grown enough to throw a punch, then don't be surprised when they see you as old enough to get punched. Woo, the privilege of never having your ass whooped. Susan says, I've been hit by an egg and it hurts. It messes up your clothes.
Probably fucks up your hair too.
One of the things people were saying in defense of Egg Boy, who I was not attacking, and I don't think he needs a defense. Like, mm-mm. I wasn't one of the people like, be civil. I was like, nah, if you do something, be prepared to get hit. But somebody was like, yeah, he took that punch, so it's that politician punches like a bitch. Yeah, ha ha ha. I said, yeah, but here's the problem with taking a punch. You don't know it's weak until after you hit.
Right.
So it's like, am I the only person that's ever been in a fight? Have y'all never met a person that's been in an actual fight? The goal is to not get hit. Not to be like, let's see how tough I am, if I can take it. You know, if you're fighting in a boxing ring, yes, you will end up having to take some punches. But it's probably better to avoid as many as you can, or be prepared to block as many as you can. People just get so weird on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Phil says, I was walking home from a friend's house one night, and I got caught slipping. The street lights came on. You know, I should have been home already. Yep. A car drove up behind me and started creeping. They pulled out beside me, rolled the windows down, and pelted me with eggs. Did it hurt? Yes. Was I ready to fight? Yes. Did I have the speed of a 1998 Toyota Tercel?
No.
No. Had to finish my walk home, egged up. Made it in the house, and my mom couldn't even bring herself to use the belt. She just laughed at me and told me to shower and wash my clothes. Damn.
Right, but she said, next time, bet your ass will be here on time.
I ain't no motherfuckers doing egg buys.
Me either.
Oh. Like, that's some like 1980s
Yeah, but no, people egg houses and shit like that, which I think is dumb too.
Yeah, but egging people, that's something else. Someone egged my car once, man. It took forever to get them eggs off, because it was like I didn't see it until the next day, and it was hot and the eggs had dried, and it fucks up your paint and everything.
Yes, it does.
Episode 1862, Anglo affirmative action. We find out them kids cheated to get in school through their rich ass parents.
Come on.
Michelle says, more episodes like this, please. I appreciate the way you can express how I am thinking about current events in such a logical yet passionate way. I had to listen to it twice. Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Your point about not having social connections in a PWI college hit close to home for me, since I went to a PWI college. Yeah, man, those stats is real as fuck, man. I really, I wish, you know what, I think most black people are not on that PWI versus HBCU bullshit.
Most don't care.
I think it's a very small minority of black people who like to argue about that stuff online from time to time.
Right.
And it's always really fucked up, because
yes, it is.
At the end of the day, if you're black in America, it's gonna be a problem somewhere.
Anywhere you go.
And if you're at an HBCU, you're gonna have issues. If you're a PWI, you're gonna have issues. There is something to be said for the lack of a social safety net for our kids in colleges that are not black colleges. There's something to be said for that. That's why the dropout rate is higher. The kids aren't stupider.
Mm-mm.
You know what I mean? It's not like, oh, you go to a PWI. Well, no, the school is so hard and they actually do real classwork. No, mm-hmm. A degree is a degree is a degree. If these dummies can get degrees and because their parents paid to get them in and they were never under threat of not graduating.
Right.
So we know that dumb white people get in and they continue to flourish and get degrees. Then that means that it's something more to college than just the classwork and the curriculum. Some of this stuff is about the social safety net. It's how do you study with people? How do you partner up with people? Who's going to be down with you? And I think that's a huge part of what we witnessed there is you're watching people that are not like you're watching black kids drop out of these schools because they're just not supported through, the part of it where it's like, you know, study hall, where it's, you know, study groups, partners, classmates that look out for one another. You're just, you know, you feel isolated and then you end up being isolated. Phil says, this dude wants to create a green book for MAGA folks. Woo, child. Anyone think that movie would win a Best Picture Oscar? I don't know. That's a good one. I don't know if that will win or not. Mm-hmm. Feel like it's missing a magical Negro.
Oh, yeah. You got to have that.
Far says, dog, quick point of information to get to how fucked up this is. You're in my generation, so you took the SATs on the 1600 scale. Yeah, well, the scale now is 2400. Oh, word?
Oh, they raised it?
Yeah, so your 1460 is equal to 2140. Damn. Their 1420 is equal to what would have been a 950 when we took it. So them kids was mediocre as fuck in the most competitive... It's some of the most competitive schools in the country. Shit is buck wild. I did not know mm-hmm. that.
I didn't know the score went up. I thought it was 1600 because that's what it was.
Me too. Yeah. But yo, that means they cheated to get a 1460. That's not even good. Mm-hmm. Like that's, I'm not, I shouldn't say not good, but that's mediocre. That's very in the middle. That's not average. Some outstanding shit. That's not some, we need to get this guy to Stanford. Black kids be having to get, like you said, 21 something just to be like, should I even apply to one of these white prestigious schools? Like, should I even try? Well, I mean, you're in the 90th percentile. Okay, I guess I'll try. Not that I think I'll get in. Not that I still need a scholarship. I still need loans. I still mm-hmm. need a bunch of other shit, but I guess I'll try. Meanwhile, your 1420 and some money is getting you in. Psh. Oh, the caucasity, man. And I, you know what, guys? I do want to apologize, man. Not even really apologize, but, you know, I thought about it more after we got off the air. And I do think most of those kids had to know. Some of them might not, but they're probably the exception. The ones who had, like, no real idea. But you gotta be in on it to a certain extent or it just won't work. You know what I mean? Cause, like, I didn't do the work to get into a prestigious university. So how the fuck am I here? You know what I mean? Like you see the kids around you who work hard. You see the Asian kid in the back of the class who's getting A after A. You see the kid that, you know, their report card is nothing but A's and B's every fucking semester. And you know you ain't got that. So you had to know something happened. You know what I mean? They're not so isolated from the world that they don't recognize another person doing hard work and them not, you know? But I really just think for the most part, it's hard to separate them. It's hard to put it on them completely because
yeah, agreed.
Their parents are willfully putting their kids in there as almost like a luxury item. Like to them, their kid's education is like buying their kid a nice speedster. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, oh, I bought my kid a top class car. And a top class education. I bought that for you. I'm rich. I bought that for you. You're welcome. You know, but so I do feel like, you know, just thinking about it, I had to think about like what applying for college was like, testing, FAFSAs, all that stuff.
That's a process.
And I know with rich people, they probably like farm a lot of that work out. Like, oh, we'll have someone prep that for you. But you know, when they come back and, well, the schools you can get into are Harvard, USC, Stanford, like you're like, oh, I did not have the grades for any of that. So they had to know, even if they're not like heavily involved in it. And of course their involvement is completely different than our involvement.
Correct.
For us, we're not rich. We have to all be very involved in our academic, like we need to be so involved that we need to know like what is the application fee.
Come on. And it's also one of those things for a lot of us, we're first generation.
Right.
And the thing about being first generation, it's really, really hard. Unless your parents are heavily involved, all that shit falls on you.
Right. And now maybe some of the kids felt like, well, because you're learning from your parents, the people you trust, oh, this is just how it's done. And so I would expect those kids to be like, oh, this is normal for rich people. And in all fairness, a lot of us think it's normal for rich people. Many of us are like, this illegal? I assume rich people was doing this, but they can go to jail for this? Oh, okay. Well, good. I didn't know that.
Something new every day.
You know, but yeah, I think that those kids may, while it's not, like if there was jail time or something, I wouldn't want to see any of those kids go to jail. To be honest, I really think their parents are responsible for this. And because I don't think any of the kids came to the parents with this scheme.
No.
I think all of the parents were like, this is a thing that I can do for my kids. And another level of this, man, is it's really sad what college has become for most people, because for black people, it's a way out.
Mm-hmm.
Like for us, it's always been like the dream of the impossible dream of college, right? But for these white people that are involved, especially the ones who are Hollywood stars, they didn't go to college. So this isn't them going, I have to do this thing because you need to do this thing because I did this thing. They're honestly just telling them to go to school like as a badge of honor. Like, I had a dream of having kids that I put through college, so you gonna go. Which is crazy, man, because y'all already made it. It's like an NBA player that says, okay, I got the millions of dollars to play in the NBA, and now I'm gonna just go to school for no reason. You know, like I just want to go back to college. You know what I mean? And I know sometimes that's because you promise a parent or something like that, or you want to get a discipline in something outside of sports. But I mean, it's like them going, I just need the degree. I don't actually want to go to college because I want to get to this money, or I just want to have a degree on my wall, you know? And in this case, it's even worse because you're not even going to college and learning. You're just going, you know, like when Vince Carter was going to college and playing in the NBA, and he graduated because he promised his mom he would do that. Like, Vince Carter was still taking classes and shit. Y'all literally paid for a fucking degree, man. Like, it's disgusting. You pay for your child to have a degree that they will get no actual experience from. I mean, those kids definitely had to know, man. I think it's fucked up because, like, I'm sure some of them didn't know.
Agreed.
Because I've already seen some of those kids come out and be like, I'm actually ashamed. Like, this is terrible. I don't belong here. I'm dropping out of school now. So some of the kids,
Them didn't even want to go to school.
Right. Some of these kids are not parents of celebrities and shit. Like, it's just, what a fucking waste. And EVE says, Rod, I think you made some very good points about those parents needing those kids to think they're worthy in order to keep the idea of white supremacy alive. It makes so much sense why there are so many mediocre white people who are just allowed to cook. That being said, I do believe that a lot of these kids knew what was up, especially Lori Loughlin's kids. Oh, listen, them motherfuckers definitely knew.
Oh yeah.
Like, I mean, there's some plausible deniability some of them other kids may have or may not have. Cause, you know, I don't know. I would need to know the ins and out of the process. Like, mm-hmm. When you Photoshop the kid's name onto a fucking lacrosse picture, is the kid complicit in that? Do they know that that's what's happening? Cause I heard some of them, like, actually literally pose for pictures in, like, jerseys and shit. Them motherfuckers knew.
Correct.
You know you ain't on no team. Why would you take a photo shoot in a jersey?
Mm-mm.
Okay. But then there's some that they said they Photoshop their heads on the other kids. So I'm like, are the parents, like, fucking, this is like, it's just diabolically fucked up. Anyway, but yes, I her kids was in on it. They knew they didn't belong, but I think at this point they're so indoctrinated in white supremacy, I don't think they see it as taking someone's spot because they believe they still deserve it. Sad thing is, black and poor mothers are being thrown in jail for lying about mailing addresses to put their kids in better school districts, while their parents will probably just get slaps on the wrist. That privilege sure is something. You know what? I'm gonna hold off on the will they get slaps on the wrist or not, because it is a federal thing. So we'll see. The RICO shit is real. So we'll see. I don't know, man. They be putting people in jail behind that shit. I don't know what they gonna plead out to. They should be able to get good lawyers and shit, but then like them feds is like 90-something% conviction rates. like, I mean, you gotta just hope for a plea, right? You gotta hope they'll have mercy on you and be like community service and a fine, right? I mean, I don't know if they're gonna, but even with that being said, let's say they don't, let's say they all get 20 years in prison. It won't matter. That black girl, that black woman shouldn't have went to jail for that, for trying to get her kid in a better school by changing her address. There has to be more. There has to be something that else that can be done, alternative to putting her in prison for that. But we see it all the time. You know, black woman accidentally votes in an election she's not qualified to vote for. She didn't know. She goes to prison. We had a dude who literally rigged an election here in my state, and ain't nobody talked about him going to prison yet.
Right.
He should go to jail. The dude who rigged it and the dude who was gonna work with a dude who rigged it. Mm-hmm. Both of y'all go to jail.
And could have ran again, but was like, nah.
Right. It's too hot on these streets right now. The poll was, will anyone go to jail in the college bribe scandal?
Oh yeah, somebody going to jail. Okay. Everybody might not go to jail, all the parents, but somebody, because you don't fuck with their money. Mm-hmm. You fucking with their money. They like, oh, we ain't getting a cut of this? Nope.
So, will anyone go to jail? 35% of our audience says yes. 65% say no. Which shows us, like, even we are like, white supremacy though, they gonna pull out that white card and get out of jail free? Can I just keep moving?
And the thing is, the only way I could see nobody going to jail is because of this Trump administration, because they don't really give a fuck. These are quote unquote his friends.
Betsy DeVos up there like, what's wrong with this?
Come on, his friends and buddies, but at the same time going scholarships. Who the fuck needs scholarships?
Right. Yeah, I'm kind of on the fence on this, but I'm gonna say yes because I think people. I think the feds always start with how much jail time do you want. You know what I mean? like feds just don't. I mean, I think some people are gonna walk, but I just think the feds are very much a. So look, you want to do a year and plead, and we'll just let you slide on that year.
Service, pay a little fine.
We'll give you a fine.
A little house arrest.
Yeah. Or do you want to go to like jail for a few years? Like, what do you want? You can go to court. You know, we trust that we got the evidence. You're not getting away with this. So you can go to court and do 5 years, 20 years. It's up to you.
And look at all this money you spending.
Yeah. Or do you just want to just plead? And that's going to probably be what it is. So I think some people going to jail because all of them ain't standing strong.
None of that. I think that a lot of them going to be like, and you know who else was involved? Such. Yes, I did it. But these people did it too. So it wouldn't surprise me if some of them push it, you find out more people than these 50 quote unquote were involved, because people are like, if I'm going down, I'm fucking punching the hole in the whole goddamn ship.
And I still reserve the right to pull the if they do that and then they start naming black people, I reserve the right to completely change my mind and be like, no one should go to jail, because I'm not gonna lie, y'all, if like Angela Bassett name come up, I'm like, no one should go to jail. This is a victimless crime. But I doubt they told any of their black friends.
Mm-mm, they probably didn't even know this shit existed.
Brooklyn Shoebae says they rich, white, and nobody died. They gonna get community service and pay a fine. Lakita says, yep, I agree. They won't do time. I'm surprised they got charged in the first place, because I thought it was something all rich white folks did before TPS told us how they got caught. I was sure it was a parent of color who caught wind of this fuck shit after doing it the right way, or a white parent who didn't have the money to play the game and said, fuck the game, LOL.
Right.
But no time in jail, prison, just shame. Yeah, my original thought was somebody paid that money, because it's still for a chance to get in. It's not an actual, like, guarantee. So I thought somebody paid that money and they was like, oh, man. Ah, I hate to tell you this, but your kid, Trevor, didn't get in. And they was like, I'm going to the feds. But it turns out it was about something completely different.
Yep, and none of that. I think by the end of this, more of these coaches and people gonna lose their jobs, because more people are involved and got fired and shit like that. They're gonna be like, no, this coach.
Yeah, especially because of the sports they use. They're not coaches that are not expendable.
Correct.
Like, if it was Coach K or some shit, nothing would happen. Mm-mm. But it's like the soccer coach at, the soccer coach at Brown University can go.
Come on, the rowing coach at Wake Forest, they can go.
Yeah, you can get the fuck up out of here. Lakita says on episode 1863, less hilarious. To be completely genuine, I didn't know who Jess was, but I liked her on that very terrible rail show to keep and kept watching for a rare good joke from her. Then the shit started flying. I don't need to support black businesses and calling random people, oh, the F word. And let's not forget capping on Obama's internet by misidentifying yet still being prejudiced against people minding their own goddamn business. Then being dragged to telling all the internet she don't give a fuck, only to mysteriously apologize the next day telling us to stop acting like she didn't give a fuck when she told us she didn't give a fuck.
Right.
So, I'm tired. Them jokes on that terrible show wasn't that damn funny. She definitely has a lot of growing to do, preferably off the internet, and she's a mother. Do your kids a favor and try shutting the fuck up. It's free. Listen, let me add an extra thing about this. Cause I see what you're trying to do, Jess. What she been doing is she be apologizing on Instagram. So the next day after this show, she had like 3 more apologies. Like, I opened up Facebook, she was on there apologizing again. And I said, damn, Jess, I have to forgive you because I just need you to stop apologizing. This is slick. This is something new that I haven't seen. This is the new technique. And I think more of these celebrities might want to use this, is you just keep apologizing to the point where we all are sick of it. And we're like, fuck it, you're forgiven if you'll just shut the fuck up and let me have my peace. And they're like, but I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I I'm not racist, y'all. I love Islam and Muslims. Like, okay, all right, we forgive you. I'm sorry. Like, okay, it's over with. I forget what even you did in the first place. It's just, it's fine. Okay, no one was hurt. Just please stop. I'm sorry. I can't believe I did this. I gave some money to a charity. I'm so sorry. Okay, apology accepted. But I say I'm sorry. Yes, go back to making terrible jokes. But yeah, nah, she's fucked up for that, man. And it's not for me to buy, but mm-mm. Even with everything she said, man, it's just hard to believe her. She went so hard. It's hard to just believe, yeah. She learned a lesson out of a genuine good place. It just seemed like people start calling her like, do you want to work here or not? You know what I mean?
Yeah, a lot of zeros must have stopped being cash. Cause yeah. Like this, like you said, if it's a constant thing, she was looking like, holy shit, them a lot of zeros.
Like if you're her agent, it's like, yo, my text alert is going the fuck off. What is going on with you? No, take that shit back. You are not having, you don't got no Kevin Hart money.
You sure don't.
And
you
then
got
I
no
didn't
Dave
even
Chappelle money.
And then the worst part is I didn't even know about the homophobic shit. So this kind of stuff actually brings light to all your other shortcomings.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I'm up here like, what is funny about you? How did you get on? This is another problem with them Instagram, like, comedian motherfuckers, though. Like, and I don't knock anyone for unconventional lane. A podcast is an unconventional lane as
correct.
Well. But the Instagram funny is different than stand-up funny.
Yes, and a lot of people don't understand that. And to an extent, I'm gonna tell you right now, to an extent I understand why people that are actual comedians that actually do stand up have to go to the bars and everything else associated with stand up. Look at these people going, no motherfucker, your audience ain't the same. It's just not the same because you can take shit, cut it up in bits and pieces and get likes and hearts and retweets. Can you actually write shit, stand in front of somebody, deliver it, have them look in your eye, get that instant feedback? It ain't the same. Cause like the thing is, I can shoot, not unless you do it live, but you can shoot, reshoot, you can edit all that stuff. When I'm on the stage.
Well, they
it's
do a
different.
Lot of stuff live too now.
Okay.
So Instagram live. But my point is, I still respect it because Instagram is a different medium.
Yes, it is.
And you can be very funny on Instagram. A lot of people follow people for being funny on Instagram. Instagram, unfortunately for me, I literally just don't understand it enough. Like, people always tell me, I used to do Instagram stories and shit. I'm like, I don't even know, like, what a good Instagram story is or what I should be doing. I don't know. When people go live, I don't know what the point of them going live is or, what is all that shit about. So
about the interaction.
Okay, I don't, but I'm just saying, I can admit that I don't fully have a grasp of it. So I do understand there's talent there. You have
mm-hmm.
to, like, just going
it
live
is
not the same as, like, someone being good at it.
Right.
So I'm saying she must be talented in the Instagram way. The difference between me, the difference I'm trying to say is, crafting a joke on Instagram and being good on Instagram are not the same thing.
Ain't that the truth?
A lot of Instagram is just like, this thing is happening, I'm going to share it with you. Right? Like, the camera went from facing outward towards look at what's happening in life, look at this picture of, you know, the my feet at the beach, mm-hmm. to facing inwards at look at my face, look at my voice, listen to what I'm saying to you.
Right.
And so because of that, I think these Instagram comedians, when they bomb sometimes, it's, I am just commenting on everything. Everything is content now. You know, right. A lot of times people don't understand when they talk to me about certain stuff and they're like, why don't you do blank? And I'm like, some of the shit in my life isn't content.
Correct.
Some of my stuff is just for me.
I just you know? Want to do it and that be it.
Yeah, like I hung out with my parents and my niece yesterday and all that stuff. I'm not live Instagram live that shit or taking a bunch of selfies and shit. Like, look at this, y'all. You know, like, that's just time for us, you know. But I think once you flip that switch where your life is your content, it's kind of difficult for some people. And then this is a case where more important, I mean, not more important, but just as important as the fact that she said that Islamophobic bullshit and offended everybody is the fact that she really didn't have a joke there. There wasn't a thing that happened there that was like, oh my God, hilarious. Like,
there was no punchline.
Yeah, it was literally just a pointless, like, you could have just done nothing. Could have just put your phone in your pocket or listened to some Spotify or something and been okay. You didn't need to say something is happening, let me comment on it. And I think that's the point I'm trying to make is how, like you said, you're not writing jokes, crafting them. You're not presenting them on a stage to people all the time. You're just like, I'm a personality. And that's a fine line, and you're gonna end up with shit like this.
Yeah, because then also, before we move on, the comedians and the Instagram comedians, they actually roll two different lanes. And sometimes when they cross, it's not always a good thing, but it's easier for a comedian to cross over to Instagram than an Instagram comedian to cross over to real life comedy, but just because of the way this they're structured.
Maybe. I had to think about that, but yeah, maybe that's true. I definitely think certain skills translate better, but
correct.
You know, stand up is also kind of a dying art for a lot of people, and the internet, shit, you know what, to be fair, I don't think it is true, Karen, because how many times have we seen a stand-up comedian have their material put on the internet and then people flip the fuck out, like, look at this bull, this is like sexist, this is homophobic, this is about rape. And I'm like, but if you were in the audience for that joke at the club, it's a different, you know what I'm saying, like, it's a different environment. And so you can do that in a club in the context of like a 40 minute set or something like that, but then if someone isolated that and put it on the internet, they're like, people kind of cherry pick apart the joke.
And I'm not talking about it like that. I'm talking about, like, a lot of times when Instagram comedians do their thing, they are in control. Like, if a comedian says, hey, I'm gonna take this and I'm turning the camera, like you said, towards them, I'm turning the camera towards me, I'm in control of this content, because most of the Instagram comedians, they're not on stage doing this stuff. Like, they're in control. So I've seen comedians who, where if they turn the camera on themselves and structure and write stuff out, some of them are actually very funny, like snippets, yeah, and some of pieces,
right? Some both ways, like, some correct. Instagram people can do stage, correct. Some stage people can do Instagram, correct. But what I'm saying is, I think the mediums are different enough from each other that they both have pitfalls that the other medium doesn't.
Agreed.
And so that's why we see sometimes, like, popular comedians that are very unpopular on Twitter,
right?
Like, Daniel Tosh was selling out arenas, mm-hmm. but you post any of his jokes on Twitter and it's fuck him, cancel him, he's trash. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, like, it's a skill set, and I want to say I respect the Instagram skill set, but
correct,
this is the downfall of that skill set, because if your whole thing is look at me, look at me, look at me, some of these times you're gonna say look at me and people are gonna go, yeah, look at you, you look fucking ridiculous right now. You know, you look racist right now. You look stupid right now, because everything can't be made about you.
Correct. Like you said, they both have their pluses and minuses, and they both have their own, I guess, their own lane.
Yeah, some people are great at it.
And sometimes they don't need to. Yeah,
Kev on stage, Roy Wood Jr. Mm-hmm. Like, some people are really fucking good at it. You know, you're like, oh yeah, that's amazing. And then there's some people where they're just throwing shit at the wall, and you're like, I don't know that this motherfucker is that funny, but they also just very like, they know how to get a, that's what I meant to say. Instagram is about getting attention and likes.
Correct.
It's not about getting laughs.
Mm-mm.
Like, the attention and likes are more important than the laughs, because at least you viewed it. A view is not the same thing as an endorsement, and it's not the same thing as support.
Mm-mm.
Laughing is more seen that way in a club, comedy club. It's like, right, I am endorsing that joke was funny.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas a, you know, on Instagram, maybe a share is more like that, but not an actual like, you know, like a view is just like, I wanted to see what the fuck was gonna happen.
Agreed.
And I think when you get those two things conflated, you're chasing views. What she said was something that was gonna get a lot of views. That's why I think she was like, fuck y'all.
Cause and it did.
In her mind, she's like, I'm gonna get a whole lot of views. But right, they, but it, the view is not the same as thinking that this was good. And so now, lesson learned.
Lesson learned.
Evie says, I think the problem with Jess Hilarious is the same problem with a lot of internet comics, that comedy doesn't translate on a larger platform. She came up with a lot of Vine and YouTube personalities, and now that the way people are consuming media has evolved, some of the Instagram comics can't keep up with the mainstream. Their followers are growing, but they think they can still say what they want when they only had a few followers. She has been called out for her homophobic and anti-black comments before, but the only thing that will get her to change will be when her bag is affected. But even then, the apology means nothing if you're only apologizing because you're afraid to lose money. I think she and a lot of the Instagram and YouTube comics are unable to evolve and won't be around much longer. Might be the case, dog. The poll was, have you ever knocked over something in a store? Because Karen did that.
Oh, yes, I did.
Yes, and I helped clean it up.
That was me.
Yes, but someone else cleaned it up. Or not yet. 62% of people did it and helped clean it up.
Okay. I'm glad I'm not the only one looking like, oh, my God.
20% did it but didn't. Someone else had to clean it up. Yeah, it also depends on what you spill too, because you spill some liquid, it's like, that's y'all.
I agree.
I ain't got a mop.
Right, I didn't come prepared for that.
And not yet, 18% of y'all.
Bless you, 18%.
Alicia says, if no one sees me, then I just slide off. Otherwise, I pretend like I have some home training to pick it up. Yeah, if nobody sees me, I just robot out of there. Lakita says, again, agreeing with Alicia. All right, and let's go to the next one, which was, not all thy neighbors.
Not all of them.
Cause I don't know what Chloe was thinking, but I don't love them all. And we had one comment. Let me see if I can get it to load up. Moving a little bit slow, huh? Nappy Chulo says, I just wanted to know how many times you listened to the Bullet Ball song to know it well enough to remix it on the spot like that. Laughing my fucking ass off.
A lot.
Yeah, I mean, you guys have heard the episodes. We run that shit back all the time. I love me some Bullet Ball rap. It's a new sports game. Can't you see? Bullet Ball the game. Bullet ball the scream. It's a mix between table tennis and air hockey. And that's the what?
And that's the Bullet Ball.
Plus the song repeats. Like, both verses are the same.
Mm-hmm.
You win the point, then you win the catch. All right. The poll is, would you use an app to assist you in breaking up with someone romantically? Yes. Or no. Karen, would you use an app if it was time to get rid of me?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, sis. 25% of y'all would use an app.
Because I'm going to be heartbroken. Somebody needs to be able to do it without getting their emotions and feelings involved.
Do they do the breakup sex, as June asked?
75%
say no. Latinx lawyer says, hi Karen and Rod, thanks for all the hard work to put in this show. My fiance and I keep finding ourselves talking about the topics you address from a perspective where we try to be better and keep our privilege in check. I'm still shaming her for putting five stars on it though. Thank you. Anywho, you killed me with that story about the cologne. We recently started buying black owned detergent, and not only were we paying double the price of detergent, but we also had to pay the high shipping fee because it's not in stores. Then I found myself annoyed by how long it took to get here. I had to fight my anti-blackness and recognize they can't mass produce this product yet, probably because racism keeps them from accessing capital they deserve. Your story hit close to home, and I appreciate you sharing. Thank you. You know what, man, because I took a chance sharing that, man. I'm like, I know other people can identify with what I'm saying, mm-hmm. and I'm not trying to say it from the perspective of I was absolutely right. Fuck y'all. Fuck y'all. You know, the just hilarious way. But I'm trying to be like, yo, we are human, and you know, I know a lot of people look at me like, this motherfucker is so like pro militant black, blah blah blah. And I'm like, one, I do not think I'm militant black.
I don't think a
lot of people would.
No, I'm not at that cut. I'm not there yet. I'm
yeah, there's a lot of people with more radical black views than me, and that's fine. But I do think that's a thing. That's a real thing. And you know, I had to examine myself because I'm like, yo, this person had bad customer service. I would not do business with this company again.
Correct.
But I was literally on some, this is what's wrong with us as black people. And I was like, what the fuck? Where did that come from? I had to check myself.
Yeah.
But then I was like, let me tell y'all about that shit. You know, it's happened before that I've done stuff like that on the show. And the point I'm trying to get to is that we are programmed by what we consume in a society. Like,
agreed.
A lot of this stuff is consistently trying to make us like to normalize these fucked up things, and if we don't fight back against it like willfully and vigilantly, and even in our minds, our own battleground of our minds, you can succumb to this shit so easy, man.
Yes, you can.
So yeah, that's it. Alicia says, I would use this but not to end a serious relationship unless that nigga crazy. I wonder if they charge extra for crazy niggas. Like, is it crazy? Is that a question?
A crazy fee? Yes.
Yeah. Add extra $50 for crazy fee.
Yeah, because we might have to get security crazy fee.
Lakita says, I'm just agreeing with Alicia. However, I said yes for the very reason she stated. It depends on our relationship level, but niggas be crazy and don't like rejection. Ain't that the truth? Oh, man. And lastly, Jocelyn the Scammer was our episode of our Walking Dead recap with the problematic least fave Justin. Imani says Rob was absolutely right that Henry is only saying the same things that Carl or Judith are saying. You've been consistent on that point all season. It still doesn't matter. Fuck that little nigga in the name of EVE. Wow, y'all. I do all this hard work to educate y'all. Try to elevate y'all. And oh, Rod, you taught me so much about empathy and loving people and all this stuff, but you know, fuck you when it comes to Henry. Okay, I see y'all. I think most people don't disagree with his point, but his little useless dumb ass can't back up what he's saying, so it's just annoying to hear. Carl could go out on his own and make shit happen, so if he went rogue, he could back up his mission statement. Henry has done nothing. Yeah. This is why that's bullshit. Carl got bit. Back that up. Oh, he can take care of himself. Henry's still alive last time I checked. Henry 1, Carl 0. The fuck? Scoreboard. Henry has done nothing but take L's and fuck the rest of the group. Let me check. Henry, is he not dead? Oh, not dead. So he's done more than take L's. It doesn't matter if he's right or not. This would be like Joe, if Joe said we need to balance teams at the Y and started talking shit about super teams. Even if it's true, the message matters, especially when you have an agenda. That analogy is terrible, but okay. Bean says, so I enjoyed this episode this week because we finally got some answers about the scars, and I finally got to hear Justin on a free episode. Yay. I'm honestly surprised Michonne didn't lose the baby with the pain and beating she was taking in the flashback, right? Clearly the moral of this episode is no new or old friends. Just no friends. When she said that all the parents cracked, all my flags went up. At what point in the story in the Z-Pac was going on well, at that point in the story, Z-Pac was going on well over 5 years and the parents just all cracked. Jocelyn probably wanted to say she cracked them upside the head.
But she did.
Also, about last week's episode, I hope it's okay to talk about it here. But I noticed this when watching the show, and it was confirmed when The Talking Dead came on. When Connie was fighting with those whisperers, I saw there was a glimmer of light that reflected off the knife, and that's why she ducked so fast. I'm not sure if you got a chance to rewatch, but I thought I'd make a note of that for anyone who might have missed it. Okay. I was just hoping she had daredevil senses, so you kind of bummed me out a little bit, Beans, but that works. EVE says, LOL, Rod, you played the fuck out of me, but I still love you. Oh yeah, because during her feedback, I said she loves Henry. Yeah, it was a little joke between us. You know, I will never like Henry, and in my best Sam Jackson voice, yes, he deserves to die, and I hope he burns in hell. Wow.
is really sad. You know, he didn't get into college on nobody paid his way into college, guys.
Nobody.
All right, he didn't cheat to get in. He's just a kid.
He got a black daddy. Mm-mm.
He's just a kid with a stick that learned from black people. You would think that that would matter, you know.
Apparently it don't.
Black men teach him how to fight and survive. Got a black daddy. Morgan teach him how to use a weapon. Carol, his mama. Y'all want to see Carol cry. That's what's so crazy to me. Y'all swear y'all love Carol. Y'all want to see Carol's son. Y'all want to see Carol lose another child in the Z-Pac. I don't know what is wrong with y'all. It's honestly just sad at this point. Who's a better parent in the Z-Pac? Michonne, Aaron, Jocelyn, which I meant to say Jocelyn. I don't know. I've been watching so much Love and Hip Hop, I guess I put the wrong one. Earl and Tammy or Carol and Zeke? Karen?
Single daddy.
Okay, Karen's going with Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
The winner of the poll is Michonne, 48%, which I think is just a bias because y'all like black women. 33% said Aaron, which I think is the right answer. His girl don't never be in trouble.
Mm-mm, he always know where she at. She always hit him up. Her GPS and her phone always be on. I'm home, daddy.
Mm-hmm. Errol and Tammy, 6.45%. So they came in second least. And Carol and Zeke came in at 13% because y'all hate Henry. JV Dub says, y'all, my real name is Jocelyn, and I really felt some type of way about the name of this week's episode. Well, don't be scamming. It's Jocelyn the scammer. So if you're not scamming, then that's you not good. You. Well, I mean, that's
you the good one.
Pretty easy fix right there, buddy. All right, let's play these voicemails. We got a couple. We got two callers, and then one person left like three voicemails.
Okay.
I think because why is it not working? Okay, so that's Saturday. Okay, so this is from Allegra, I believe, and then I'll play the other person's voicemail.
Okay.
704-557-0186.
Damn, I thought I could make it under 2 minutes. Anyway, just to reiterate, you guys are absolutely right.
Oh, okay. So it's the second one. Okay. She left two as well. All right, here we go. So we'll go to the first one.
Hello, you two. It's Allegra. I am listening to your feedback show for this week, ending on the 16th, and I have to stop it because you guys are in the midst of talking about the mosque shooting massacre, I'd like to call it. I know that's inflammatory language, but I don't give a shit. Anyway, I'm calling because, and I'll try to make it quick because I can talk about this shit forever, but you two are absolutely correct. This is something that I've always been talking about not being able to see the connections, as you and Rod, you both said. It's so funny that Mariano and I, my husband and I, were talking about this same thing of not being able to make connections and see the through line or the thread, whatever phrase you want to use. In regards to these things, the world is always watching us. Historically, different countries have taken what we've done and implemented them, good and bad, implemented those things within their own culture.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the countries that have constitutions have based constitutions on our constitution. A lot of the time when people were doing heinous things like eugenics and that kind of stuff, they were modeling that stuff after us doing that shit. So all eyes are always on us. It only stands to reason that they would then see Trump as the beacon for this white supremacy and I can't even think of all the other words that would.
All right, so she got cut off. I'll go to the second one, but before we do that, Hitler modeled stuff from the Holocaust off of American Southern, like, Jim Crow shit. Like this shit is not a game where we get to pick and choose when America's the leader of the free world and when we're not. You know what I mean? Like, it's so fucked up. And like I said, I know that that those bodies are partially on the hands of the fact that people elected Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not saying there'll be no mass shootings if Trump wasn't elected. Obviously, that's not true. But hate crimes jumping up, I think all that stuff is directly connected to them, right, whether people want to admit it or not, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think we have a part to play in making sure that doesn't happen again. It shouldn't never happen, but we have a part to play. All right.
Yeah, I thought I could make it under 2 minutes. Anyway, just to reiterate, you guys are absolutely right, and I'm just co-signing, basically. It's foolish for us to not realize our influence within the world, and it's arrogant for us to not understand that when we're going around saying America this, America that, when we go to different countries, that they don't see that. In my minor travels, I've traveled to other countries, not too many, but I've experienced enough to know that we heavily influence other countries for good and bad. So that's all I wanted to say. I thank you guys for covering this and for always being an inspiration for conversation. And also, oddly enough, you guys will often talk about what Mariana and I talk about. It's as if you guys read our minds or we're all on the same page or whatever. Anyway, as always, I enjoy you guys very much, and I'll continue with the rest of this feedback episode. Bye, guys.
Thank you. And also, like, I like when we hear feedback like that, and we've heard it a couple times this week, but that, you know, we're mirroring conversations people are having, that people are having in their houses and stuff, because I think a lot of these conversations taking place in private.
Right.
Because one, nobody wants to be wrong. You don't want to put your public views out there. And a lot of cases, the conversation we have is like, I don't know how I feel about this yet, or I'm still thinking things through. And, you know, like this stuff with the kids and the scholarship stuff. I mean, for me, I'm like, I'm thinking it through as I'm talking about it, you know, and now I feel more strongly like, nah, fuck those kids. They were mostly complicit as well. But at the time, I was like, but then they also rely on this lie of like white supremacy and shit that they don't want their kids to know we're actively promoting. But, you know, my guess is more the kids knew than didn't. But because at that age, you already believe in that shit. You think this is different than when black people get into college on affirmative action, quote unquote.
Right.
Matter of fact, I'm doing this because of affirmative action, blah, blah, blah. Like, they'll even do that. All right, we got 3 voicemails from one person who called last night. So let me play that. I think it's about the Walking Dead episode that we did.
Okay.
Hey, Rod and Karen. Friday afternoon. I'm beginning the recap of the Walking Dead show. My second time calling in. You know, I called in last week. I was the one with the highly inappropriate suggestion for the Justice Smollett and R. Kelly duet. But I'm calling because I'm listening to the Walking Dead recap this week, and I didn't mention it before, but the whole reason I watched The Walking Dead and Game of Thrones is because of your guys' show. You and your nicknames on Game of Thrones, the Freaky Prince and Little Slavey, Mountain Stein, stuff like that. I had to watch those shows and just see, you know, what they're talking about. But anywho, I was calling because I just wanted to say that I always watch the week before episode of Walking Dead before I watch the current one, and I noticed that the last week it should have been called Fuck Henry, and Henry has fallen and can't get up. Because in the beginning, that fool falls, and at the end of the show, that fool gets stabbed in the leg with a stick he made for Lydia. And I know you're going to say, like, if it was Carl, we wouldn't feel the same way. The difference between Carl and Henry is Carl get a pass because he got bodies. Put some respect on his name, man. He got shot in the chest when he was a kid. He avoided rape. He shot some little kid in the woods, I believe. And that fool watched his mom get ate by a zombie and gave birth to his sister and Shane's daughter at the same time and then followed it up and got shot in the eye. Carl gangster. Don't try and compare Carl to Henry. Fuck Henry. And beginning this episode of the recap this week, good to hear Justin again. But yes, our crew is the shit, but our crew is not the shit. The kingdom is not the shit. They don't have a tiger no more. They got Carol. Carol is the shit.
Okay, you got cut off, but and I'll go to the next one in a second. But everything you described about Carl is about how bad he is at this shit. Nigga got no eye no more, got shot in the chest. Like, sound like he just used to getting hemmed up. And of course, he also did something Henry never did, which was get bitten, which you failed to mention. Cause Carl is dead. Okay? Now, if you want to dig his ass back up and have Zombie Carl Walking Dead show, feel fucking free. But I'm actually on the side of the people that's alive, which includes Henry, the not bitten one. Get better at not getting bitten, Carl, and then maybe you can come back and win this debate.
Sorry, I think I went over 2 minutes, so I'm gonna wrap it up real quick. Kingdom left the shit, careless of shit. Kingdom ain't got no motherfucking tiger no more. Hilltop got Terra, but they got the ASL team, and to me they're pretty dope. So they'll be alright, but Hilltop ain't got Jesus no more. So pretty much it's just Terra telling people what to do. Hopefully they'll be able to defend themselves. Alexandria, that's where our crew is at. We got Michonne, who's a beast. Judith's a beast, even though she only 6. She over there looking like, what's her name? Gone from Hunter Times Hunter. Rosita, Aaron. Gabe and Eugene, I'm not sure how they're good as the soldiers. And then Daryl, he's a drifter. He'll be where he needs to be at, where he needs to be there. But in the meantime, our crew is a shit, but they're not the crew all together. We'll see what happens, because at some point, our crew can come back together. But let you guys know the show. All right, peace.
All right, and then he left one more message, so I don't know what this one's about. I'll play it anyway. Oh, that one's just hanging. Oh, no, here it is.
Just listening to the Walking Dead recap, and I just had a couple quick things I'm trying to say to you out in this 2 minutes. But first of all, is God love the Z-Pac that we all know that racism and bigotry is taught to children. But in the Z-Pac, no, that's not getting taught. Your parents is whoever raised you. Judith is a mixed baby. Gracie was being raised by homosexuals, which is totally okay. They don't know there's nothing wrong with that unless it's taught to them. Here in a mixed baby, he makes a half-breed dude from Detroit who can't fight, and a warrior princess, his mama, Queen Carol, but he's still a punk bitch, and he still could die. And with that being said, the difference between Henry and Judith is Judith has been raised by killers from the time that she was born. Even little Sam got ate up, and Judith survived walking through the walkers. Henry, on the other hand, was already brought up by half-breed, faking it dude from Detroit, who ain't no killer like Carol is. So Henry can still get it and can still die. But, all right, guys. Thank you. Bye.
But Carol is his mama now. So, you know, I'm just saying. Carol is his mama now. You want Carol to suffer, which is sad. After all that woman's been through, to be y'all's fave, y'all want to see her lose another child? Like, something is wrong with y'all. All right, we got some emails. Tonya says, I am MAGA Yelp 1863. I'm all for it. I can look on there and know what restaurants to not go to. When my mother came to visit me in Atlanta last month, I wanted to take her and my son to this really nice Black History Museum in downtown Atlanta. We were even able to get free tickets. Side note, if y'all ever come to Atlanta to visit, you should go. It is worth the money. It's called the National Center for Civil and Human Rights. Back to my mom visiting. We had to wait a few hours to get into the museum, so we walked around and found a bar and a grill to get lunch to kill a little time. After we took our orders for food, we noticed a few white people coming in with MAGA clothing on, hats, shirts, etc. Before we knew it, there was about 10 to 15 MAGA people in the restaurant. We could overhear them talking about the meetup, and they began taking group pictures. We refused to be bothered by them in spite of their rude looks at us. Other people began to leave. Some people walked in, saw them, and changed their minds, eating there, both Black and white. The restaurant lost money because they served MAGA people. I work with MAGA people Monday through Friday. Yes, my boss is racist. However, if I can avoid dealing with them on the weekends, I will. Yeah, that's wild. A MAGA meetup. Where the hell do they do that? MAGAPeopleMeet.com?
Apparently so.
MAGAs only.
RedHats.com.
Right. Like, what the fuck? For MAGAs only. 1863, less hilarious. Tonya writes in, hey, Rod and Karen, it's Toy again. coming to talk to you about the comedian Jess Hilarious. She gave an apology this morning. I'm not here to judge how sincere it was or not. I heard about it on the Ricky Smiley show this morning, and he said as a fellow comedian that he forgives her now. If that's what he wants to do, that's fine. She's a star on the TV show Rail. I like the show because I really love the comedian Lil Rail. She's also on Nick Cannon's Wildin' Out. I never thought she was funny anyway. I'm not necessarily canceling her, but I'm not going out of my way to watch her stupid videos on IG either. Oh, I mean, the focot is on. I didn't support her in the first place, so it's very easy for me to continue to avoid her and be like, I'm standing with Cap. But to be real, I never really was in her wheelhouse, so it don't matter. I mainly wrote this letter to talk about the people whom she really hurt. Those Sikh men who were kicked off of that flight. I hope there's a way that we can hear about what happened to them after they were forced off of that plane. Well, I guess good news, bad news. They didn't actually get kicked off the plane. So she did all that to look like a racist, which is even crazier to me. You just want to look racist? That's the joke? Ha ha. That's so ridiculous. Were they put on a selectee list, a list formed by the CIA? It makes people have to go through extra security at the airport or in order to travel. Were they questioned and then arrested after being accused? We already know the black and brown people are guilty until proven innocent. Were they traveling to see a family member who was sick and are now too late because they couldn't get on their flight? I just hope they're okay and nothing bad happened to them. And then also there's this other part where it felt like for a while she was apologizing for mixing Sikhs up with Muslims, but it's like it don't really matter, because if they would have been Muslim, you still would be wrong. There was no good side to this. It wasn't a simple mistake. This is what happened to stories involving celebrities. Everyone focused on celebrity, not the everyday people. Keep doing what y'all are doing. Love the show. Your Spotify listener, Tori. Thanks, Tori.
Thank you.
Yeah, and in this case, like, I actually kind of like that people didn't start concentrating on those guys, because attention ain't always good.
No, it is not.
Some of the motherfuckers would have actually been like,
did harass them.
Harassing them and shit like that. They got their names. VIP Justin Jay writes in, our girl, possible white man Jay. Damn, I gotta step my VIP game back up. Every time I hear a freeloader episode with Justin on it, I'm reminded of your chemistry and remember that I have a trailer full of VIP episodes I haven't listened to. Feel free to read this on the feedback episode for the freeloaders. Shame, shame. All right, I did read it for him.
Yeah, she ain't no freeloader.
She's not no fucking freeloader. Mm-hmm. But also, like, you know, me and Justin do a show every week, Balls Deep Sports, and then the pregame. So we got content every week for that, just that show, and we get pretty silly on there. It's funny because Audrey is friends with Justin, and she texted him after the Walking Dead review and was like, "You bring out the worst in Rod." And I was like, I was like, exactly. It's problematic least fave. This last one's from Detroit retiree Sims, who says, you had some very intense podcasts this week. We did, Sims. We did. Thanks for noticing. Hello, Rod and Karen. You had some very intense podcasts this week, especially on the topic of Israel, Ilhan Omar, Islamophobia, and the New Zealand tragedy. I'm an educated African American, but like most of us, I only knew bits and pieces regarding Israel and Palestinians. I too was confused and still am on what white people consider anti-Semitism and what is not. But just like I criticize white people when they use excuses of not knowing when something is anti-black racist like blackface, I tell those people, if you don't know something and you care to know, learn about it. Since everyone has a phone, access to the internet, find a good resource and look it up. Yep, taking my own advice, I did some simple searches on the internet because I wanted to know the history of Israel and Palestine. I have found that one of the best resources on the internet that explains the news is Vox.com. In fact, Vox has a Netflix series that explains different aspects of our society and news called Explained. I found it on Vox YouTube video that I think does an excellent job explaining the history of Israel and Palestine. Here's a link to the 10-minute video. Put it in the email. Mm-hmm. I also wanted to know how much money the U.S. gives to Israel. I found another great article on AlJazeera.com. Finally, thanks for taking this topic and inspiring us to become more knowledgeable on this and other topics such as LGBTQ. Keep up the great work. Thank you. Yeah, and I it's, to me, I've looked up stuff about it before. I've read like some books where there are like people that talk about it in detail, like I said, Angela Y. Davis's book, was one where she really talks a lot about Palestine and Israel. And the thing that always comes across to me is that the treatment of Palestine feels a lot like how black people get treated in this country. And in that, I can find some common ground. Because, you know, whether it's like the fact that a lot of the same companies that imprison black people here in privatized prison have thriving industries in Israel that are related to quote unquote security against Palestine. Like, you know, that, like, that is something to me that I can find a connection in without knowing the full, you know, the full extent of everything. And, you know, I've always seen like I even saw Ilhan Omar tweeting about how she wants a two-state solution, which everybody talks about, where Palestine and Israel can both exist, coexist without war, with peace. And I mean, every U.S. politician has said that. And I'm sure there's some that are just like, Israel and we don't give a fuck about Palestine. But for the most part, all the ones that I know, all the liberal ones, think a two-state solution is the best thing, where both entities exist, like, without violence towards one another. And there's been peace treaties before, but then they get broken or they run out, and then conflict ensues, and the conflict, you know, is supposedly very one-sided, because, you know, Israel has more resources and stuff. So yeah, I mean, like I said, it's one of those things where that, like, the idea of a two-state solution, the idea of Palestinian autonomy, the idea of coexisting, those aren't the things that are hard to grasp. The stuff that's hard to grasp for me is always like, what do we consider anti-Semitic in America when talking about it? And that's been the part that's confusing. I think it's purposely confusing. Like, I think they want people to feel that this is not a simple thing. And by conflating any level of criticism towards AIPAC or towards Israel with you're also being racist against Jewish people, it's made a lot of people kind of wary of their words, because, like, I don't want to be racist against Jewish people, obviously. You know, I'm not some fucking Holocaust denier. I'm not fucking Louis Farrakhan or some shit. Like, I don't have a problem with Jewish people in that to that extent, but there is like this line of like, I want to say that I want people to be free in Palestine without it being considered I'm taking a shot at Israel for that shit, or I want Israel eradicated. I didn't say that, and I don't believe that, and I don't want that to happen. I just want the violence to stop. So I think it's purposely obfuscated. Like, it's purposely made to make us feel like trepidation for even stepping a toe into that water. And I think Ilhan could be a person that teaches a lot of people through her example, or she could be just the latest person that, you know, they tar and feather and get the fuck up out of here. I don't know what it's going to be. But I think I'm thankful for her, because we'll all get to see on a bigger stage how it works, because I don't know how it works truly in America when people are criticizing Israel and what's okay. So, all right, man, this is a short feedback show. Thank y'all for coming through. Appreciate the live listeners.
Thank you.
Appreciate all those people that that listen later and support us. Thank you for all the premium folks and all that stuff. We have we're gonna be guest on Music Ate My Brain today. I don't know when it'll be out, but be on the lookout for that on their RSS feed with Allegra and Mariano.
We'll be doing a lot of guest spots. I was on Where's My 40 Acres.
Karen's on Where's My 40 Acres last week or 2 weeks ago. I was on A Woke File with Randolph, Terrence of Three Guys On podcast. So
I'm gonna put a guest spot update up soon. Might have to do a guest spot update soon.
They can hear this. Y'all better pay attention. Pay attention, okay?
Listen,
trying to tell you, we've been telling y'all where we at. And then we was on that Canadian radio, which I did tag the audio to that onto the last feedback show, I believe, at the end or one of the shows. So, all right, y'all, thank you so much for listening. We'll talk to y'all later. Till then, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.